The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
My 4, my 5 passes. You see, I'll be speaking 6 times in this meeting, and 6 out of them I'll be talking about times of refreshing. So you will really refresh by force. Amen. Hallelujah. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of God. He said, repent that your sins be blotted out. He said, when the times of refreshing shall come. Actually, this verse in the King James, it's distorted. It's not fully represented in a way, and I will show you that shortly. Put up any other translation, NLT, Amplified, anything. You see, he said, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins will be wiped away. Now, verse 20, NLT pushed it to verse 20. It says, then times of refreshment. Now, you notice if you use King James says, repent, be converted, your sins will be blotted away when the times of refreshing shall come. But this verse says, then the times of refreshing shall come. Do you get the point? Put up King James again. Let me show you. He said, verse 19. He says, that your sins are forgiven when, it looks like your sins will be forgiven when the times of refreshing will come, right? But then, put up like Amplified. Let's see. This one says, your sins will be forgiven when the times of refreshing shall come. But then, you see what Amplified says? It says, repent, change your mind, turn around and return to God. That's my forgiving. That's times of refreshing. So, Amplified presents it in a way that it is the repentance and then the blotting away of sins that will bring about the times of refreshing. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Which is actually the correct way it's rendered in the Greek. Are you getting the point? He said, repent and be converted. That's the times of refreshing. And so the repentance and every other thing he mentioned is what will precede the times of refreshing. You see, if you are careless with the King James, you will assume that the times of refreshing he's referring to there is repentance and forgiveness of sins. I get the point. You see, but then when you check closely, you'll find out that what he's talking about is the repentance and the conversion and whatever, which we're going to look at tonight, will be what we bet the times of refreshing. Are you still here? So I'll be talking about times of refreshing tonight. So we'll go back to King James. Same page now. It says repent. So we can read this as repent ye therefore and be converted out. This may be blotted out. Then, is that clear? Do we agree here? Then the times of refreshing, so the repentance and being converted and your sins being blotted out will bring about a time of refreshing. Tomorrow I'll be teaching properly on what that term, times of refreshing, mean. I won't do that tonight. Let me just start with repent. Amen. So how will the times of refreshing come? He said repent. Repent. So we see three things here. One, he said repent. He said be converted. He says, your sins shall be blotted out. He said, then the times of refreshing will come. Is it clear? Repent, be converted, sins blotted out, times of refreshing will come. So the repentance and the conversion will bet something. And what it will bet, we call it a time of refreshing. So while we wait to see what times of refreshing means, we want to see what repentance and what will bring about the times of refreshing. That word repentance, of course, is the Greek word metanoe. Okay, it's not repentance, it's metanoia. But this verb, this repent here, which is the verb, is spelled M-E-T-A-N-O-E-O. It means to think differently. It means to have a change of mind. To change your mind. To think differently. You know, when many of us hear the word repent, the only thing that comes to your mind is change from your evil ways. But you see, it says repent. The word repent, even in the English, it simply means change your mind. You see, in the Greek, it's rendered as repent, change your mind, think differently. And you observe closely in this place, it says repent, what followed? Therefore. Abby? So he tells you that is something was referring. So when I come to you, I cannot walk up to you and say, repent. What will you ask me? From what? Is that correct? So we must find out what he wanted them to repent from in this passage. So, of course, you know how we do it. We're going to backtrack. Verse 12. Verse 12. What did he want them to repent from? Because when you tell somebody, repent ye therefore. The word therefore shows I've been talking about something. So in the light of what I've been talking about, repent. So look at verse 12. We're going to do a little study here. Are you ready? It's the way, Abby. You did not come to play. There are no games. We are not watching movies. But we say, but I thought this night is arrival. We should at least play games, watch film, watch Passion of Christ. Oh, glory. You see, people spent a lot to be here. We cannot waste your time like that. Are you in verse 12? And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Now, what happened there was, they raised the cripple. You see, the beautiful man at the cripple gate. You know that man? He didn't get it. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness, we had made this man walk. Okay? Then the God of Abraham, he began talking about himself. He said, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Okay? But you deny the Holy One, the just, okay, the Holy One and the just, and desire the murderer to be granted unto you, okay, verse 12, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So what is he talking about here? Christ's death, right? Okay, now, verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Number 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it. As did also, he said, I understand you did whatever. What did they do through ignorance? They killed Jesus, right? So you did through ignorance. Now, verse 18. But those things which God before had shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he had so fulfilled. Verse 19. Therefore. So let me see if you got it. What was the narrative? He was talking about Christ's death. Right? So what did he want them to change their mind about? Come on. Fail it. That's why you're here. Come on, talk. Okay, let me ask you. When they killed Jesus, what did they kill him as? The Messiah? As what? A murderer? A bad person? And now he presents to them that actually, that what happened in the killing of Christ was actually the fulfillment of scriptures. He now says repent. In other words, change how you see this man, Jesus. Change your perception about his death. Is that correct? Change your perception, change your mind about how you've always perceived the facts of his death. He said, so Peter presented them the power of Christ and they show that in verse 18 that this Jesus is the fulfillment of scriptures. Of course, when we say he's the fulfillment of scriptures, what did he fulfill in the scriptures? Did Jesus fulfill the whole Bible? Acts 13 verse 32. What did he fulfill in the scriptures? Jesus is the fulfillment of scriptures. He told them in verse 18 that this man you killed, you are just fulfilling scriptures. Acts 13, 32, he said, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, talking about the Old Testament, okay, verse 33, what is that promise? God has fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he did what? So what scripture did Jesus fulfill? He's rising from the dead, right? Is that clear? So when he told them, he said, see, you used to see Jesus as this, you even killed him. But now I would like you to know, men and brethren, that this man you killed, all he did was to fulfill scriptures. He now says, repent. So what would that mean? Change how you understand and the conclusion you have about his death and resurrection. Is that clear? Is that clear? And you will find this again. So in my note I said, they never saw him as Christ. They never saw him as Messiah. They never saw him as Savior. They've always seen him as this man that we killed. So they were to have a change of mind about these things. You get the point? They were to change their mind about how they've always perceived this man. He said, repent ye therefore. Are we on the same page? So, do we agree that when he says repent, he was not talking about turn away from your sins? Because he has not mentioned sins here, right? He just told them a story. And said, this man you killed, he is the Messiah now. He fulfilled scriptures. He has risen from the dead. Repent ye therefore. So how you used to perceive this man, or how you used to understand his death and resurrection, has got to change. Is that very correct? He said repent ye. Now, go back to verse 19 of Acts 3. Now, after he said repent, I won't rush. We'll explain this better tomorrow. He says, and be what? That word be converted is the Greek word epistrepho. It means to revert, to turn about. In fact, to understand it better, put up the Amplified. You see what Amplified said? To turn about, be converted. So repent. Okay, I think I like Amplified. What did Amplified say? Let's start. 1, 2, 3, go. So what did Amplify explain repent as? Change your mind. Do you understand it? So repent, he was telling them, was not, you guys have been lying and fornicating, so tonight is a night of repentance. So begin to change from your ways. If he had said repent from your sins, do you understand? That would be it. But when he just says repent, you have to study to know what they should repent from. So Amplify says, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God. So to be converted means to turn around. The way the Igbo Bible will put it, if you are Igbo here, is to say Chiharia Machiharian. It means repent and turn about. In other words, this turning about has to still happen in the mind. Abi, there has to be a turning about unto God. And so this changing your mind, you will have to turn about in your mind. What Peter was telling them was not to do about turn. No. Where should this happen? In their mind. Is that correct? So turn about. Turn around. Towards God. This would also mean they should change how they've always perceived this man Jesus. Is that very correct? They've always seen him as a mortal. This guy, the guy that possibly sinned and they killed him. He said, repent and turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Now, when they now repent and turn around. Of course, when he says turn around, when I say turn. Turn. To where? I think that should be the question, right? Turn. To where? In other words, if I say turn, it means that it's a destination I've been pointing you to. And I'm saying turn to that place. Is that very clear? So, we've read, he has pointed them to which destination? The fact that Christ died and rose again. Is that very correct? And the fact that he's coming out of the scriptures, he now says, turn around. Start looking there. Is that very clear? Start looking there. That's Jesus. Now, what will be the effect when they change their mind about Jesus' death and resurrection and turn around and focus on him? What will it produce? That your sins will be what? Blotted away. Go back to King James. So, and so when they do this, when they repent and turn about and they change their mind about what Christ has done on the cross, their sins will be blotted out. Oh, you know, when he says it means to the sins will be obliterated. Do you understand it? It will be wiped away. It will be wiped away. And so this begins to tell you that how their sins will be forgiven or will be wiped away will not be by what they do in their actions. It will be by what they do in their mind. Is it pretty clear? Do you understand it to this point? So when he says, so repent means change your mind. It will be what you do. You know, people normally say, if you want your sins forgiven. Well, I'm going to shatter your mind today. Amen. That's why he came. People normally say, if you want your sins forgiven, you have to change, stop sinning. And I tell them, if I stop sinning, I don't need forgiveness. I've stopped. Praise God. It's not clear? If I have to stop sinning to be forgiven, I don't need forgiveness. I have stopped. I'm not a sinner, so you don't need to forgive me. Just like they say, it's just like what normally say those days. They say, do you clean yourself before you have a bath? You want to enter the bedroom and somebody says, you enter the bedroom like this, you are too dirty. You go and clean yourself, then you enter the bedroom. So what will produce forgiveness or blotting away of sin will not be what they did in their conduct. It will be something that will happen in the mind. Have you started seeing that he was talking to them about the gospel here? He was saying, change your mind about the fact of Christ. Okay, let me just pause. What does it mean when we say that Jesus has died and risen? 1 Corinthians 15:17. Let me just show you. What does it mean? I didn't plan to go all this way, but look at that. 15:17. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Let's all read from the screen. 1, 2, 3, go. No, that's not everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. So wait. So if Christ has been raised, what does it mean? Our faith is not vain. And so when he was telling them to change their mind about how they saw Christ at the resurrection, he was trying to make them see the fact that their sins have been paid for by the reason of Christ at the resurrection, right? So he says, change your mind about that. So in a simple term, he was telling them, believe the gospel. Is that not true? He was telling them, believe the fact that Jesus has paid for your sins. He said, when that happens, go back to Acts 3:19. He said, then your sins shall be blotted out. Blotted out. I'll come to that. Acts 2, verse 38. Peter preached this same message. I'll touch this tomorrow. Peter preached this similar message in Acts 2, 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And so, I've told you, whenever you see repent, you have to check what you are repenting from, right? So, let's go back a little to see what did Peter want them to repent from. Verse 30. You see, it's the same thing he has been talking about. Verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Okay? This Jesus has what? Whereof we all are what? Verse 33. Therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, and having received promise of the Father, okay, rest of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Verse 34. For David is not ascended, okay, verse 35. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that what happened? That God had made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both what? What does the word Christ mean? Christ means Savior. It means, just know that this man Jesus that you crucified is the Lord and the Savior. In verse 38, he now says, repent. Do you understand the flow? So change your mind about how you are seeing this man Jesus. How many of us here believe that Jesus is our Savior? How many of you believe that your sins have been paid for? Am I talking to people in the house? You believe that, right? Okay. So, can we boldly say that we have repented? Come on. Can we say we have been converted? Can we say we have Chiharia and Chiharia? Clear? We can say that, right? Now, go to Acts 3:19. He now tells them, when you repent and you are converted, what will now happen in verse 19? What did he say? That your sins. Whew. So how sins will be blotted out will be what we did in our hearts, which everybody here agree that they have done. Does everybody here agree to the fact that Jesus has paid for their sins and that he has washed away your sins? What will now be the implication? That your sins be blotted out. So when I repent here, right? In my head, in my mind, that is to believe the gospel, right? What is the gospel again? The gospel is the fact that Jesus has died and has paid for sins. And so when you believe it, when you change your mind, prior to now, you used to see how to be born again is to number one, do baptism. After you do baptism, how else to be born again? You change your evil ways, because the Lord is too holy to be holy. No question. And how else, you know, by the time you saw that, now somebody now comes to you and says, no, that the way to righteousness and how to be right with God is to, that Jesus has died and paid for sins. You now repent in your heart. This verse now says, your sins may be blotted away. Blotted out. I like that. So you notice, he didn't say, now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm just going to say this. He didn't say that your sins may be forgiven. Don't hear what I didn't say. I didn't say our sins are not forgiven, but I'm saying this verse. What did he say? Blotted out. You know, in a sense, we can call what we have in Christ forgiveness. We have forgiveness in Christ. But you know, most times, if you don't understand it, just leave it here for me. Most times when we talk about our sins being forgiven, we are speaking from our end. Because to forgive someone means you are guilty, sure. Is that correct? But then, I leave it. I understand you are guilty. So if I say I'm forgiven, it means I was first guilty before I was forgiven. Is that true? So from our end, we are forgiven because the sin is still in our conscience. We know when we did it. So we are forgiven. But from God's end, is a blotting out. Do you understand now? It's a blotting out. And you will find that a lot in the Bible. He said that your sins may be blotted out, maybe wiped away. And that does not come by confession or by changing your behavior. Repent and be converted. It's here. And so because we have repented, we have Cheharia and Chiharia. You see, we used to look at our works. We used to look at ourselves as sinners, but suddenly we Cheharia and Chiharia. We repented, we turned to God. That, at that instant, our sins. It's not like, listen to this. God did not say, well, sins, because Pastor Casey has repented. So what we're going to do now is, bring clothes. He's wearing a dirty cloth, you know, always. You know, see now we know him. So let's give him a white cloth on top. That's atonement. That is to cover. That's not what Jesus did. In the Old Testament, they covered sin. What he did was to blot out. In other words, from God's standpoint, listen, I'm not saying there is no more sin, but from God's standpoint, you are not a sinner saved by grace. From God's standpoint, he sees you without sin. Did you hear what I said? From God's standpoint, it's not like, you know, he came and then washed you. So he said, yeah, that my son was guilty. So even when the devil begins to tell God, well, that guy, he stole 10 million. You think God will say, well, yes, he stole it, but I've forgiven him. No, that's not what God will say. God will say it never happened. You say, why? Is it English that's your problem? That your sins, sir, we cannot conclude like that from one part of the scriptures. Hebrews 9 verse 24, quickly. Hebrews 9 verse 24. That your sins will be blotted out. So, you see, we celebrate forgiveness, but then it's okay, we are forgiven. That's the only way your mind can understand it. Do you understand? Forgiveness. Look at this. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. We'll touch this tomorrow. Hi. Into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25. Now yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. What did Jesus do? Verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, had he appeared to cover sin, to do what? Put. Aha. Does it sound like blotting out? To put away. So by Jesus' sacrifice, he didn't cover our sins. Forgiveness, see what you have in Christ. Christ not overlook our sins. He didn't say, even though you are righteous, I used to say this in church, even though you made a mistake, but you see, by the power vested on me as the God of the whole universe, I hereby declare that you are not a sinner. He didn't do that. And then Satan will now be somewhere doing, Ojoro, Ojoro, it's not good, they did it, you now left them. No. When he finished what he did, what did he do? He put away sin. How? by the sacrifice of himself. So listen, people say, so sin does not exist anymore. No, that's all we'll say. Sin exists. Where does it exist? Verse 20. Yes. So Christ was once offered to do what? So where does sin exist? Jesus bore it. You understand? He bore it. Come on, am I talking to you at all? And so when our sins was blotted out, he didn't throw it into the abyss or to the bottomless pit. He bore it. So when he hung on the cross, he bore my sins. When he was done, it was blotted out. And so there is no trace. And so whether you like it or yes, you see, I'm not that sinner that was saved. So I say I've never been a sinner. Now I should give them this illustration in church. When I've said this a lot here, when God created Adam, you see, he made Adam sleep. And then from Adam, Eve came out. You remember? And then in Ephesians 5, Paul uses that to describe Christ and the church. Have you seen that? Ephesians 5, he uses Adam to describe Christ and uses Eve to describe the church. What does that mean? That the same way Adam slept and Eve came out. I'm taking it somewhere. Christ slept. Calm down. I'm going somewhere. You know the sleep. Like on the cross. And I became the product of that sleep. Now I'm going somewhere. Now, if you had met Eve when she came out and say, tell us about your past. I'm saying. If we say, tell us about your past, she will turn to Adam. So tell me about your past. My past is in Jesus. Hey! He said, sir, but I know that's why I tell people, much as it is good to tell what happened to you before you got saved, I don't think calling believers come and stand them up and say, tell us how you were before you got saved. He said, I was in level 999 in the kingdom of darkness. No. When Brother Hagin met his friends that knew him before he got saved, they said, did he know you, Hagin? That he said, well, that Kenneth had died. The Kenneth did not change his ways. He died. So help me. Tell me about your past. When they say Eve, tell us about your past. You'll be like, all I know is that I was in this man. One day, I saw myself. My past is in Christ. I'm not exciting you. My past is in Christ. And so, when you look at yourself, you see, that's why you say, you know, before I got saved, I used to be a thief. No, it's not true. Let me tell you. Before you got saved, what you were dead. There was no you. The Bible said, we are not a people. There was nobody like me before I got saved. Do you understand? You were not a people. You were insignificant, inconsequential, non-existent until one day the message of the gospel came. And then, you see, so when we look at ourselves, we don't say, well, in my past life, there is no past life. my sins were blotted out. He said he took away sin. Zechariah 3. I think this is the second to last scripture. Third to last scripture, then we'll close. Zechariah 3. Hey! I want to show you, because tomorrow I will show what is times of refreshing. But you have to see how you qualified for it. That you repented, you were converted, and at that instant, you appeared as someone who has never made a mistake. You can imagine how Satan felt when he entered the upper room on the day of Pentecost. he couldn't understand 120 Jesus is standing. Saints washed away. Look at this. Of course, you know this place now that they've used to. You know this story. And he showed me Joshua the high priest. I showed the scripture in church three weeks ago, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. You see, many of you at your right hand, Satan is standing there. You can be a high priest, but if Satan is at your right hand, that's not what this verse is saying. Hello? They say, even though you're a high priest, Satan can be at your right hand. Let me tell you, you know what is right hand? My right hand is the hand of authority. Satan cannot stand there. Look at verse 2. Let's see what it means. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you. O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of fire? Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. So I would like you to begin to check your garments. No. Let's see what he's saying. Verse 4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with the change of garments. Okay, verse 5. And I said, let them set a fair mite upon his head. So they set a fair mite upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Verse 6. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying in verse 7, thus said the Lord of hosts, if thou walk in my will and will keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house and shall also keep my cause. And I will give you places to walk among these that stand by. God was talking to Joshua. Now verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellow that sit before thee, for they are men wanderers. Put up NLT of this verse. You will see what he's talking about. Let's read NLT together. 1, 2, 3, go. The high priest and all your other priests. What are they? You are symbols of. So it was drama they were acting. Do you get it? Joshua was a representation of something to come. What was a representation of? Soon I am going to bring my servant, the branch. Who is that branch? So when they say Joshua was standing, he was talking about what Jesus went through on the cross. He was made sin on the cross. Do you understand? So why did he show us this verse? Verse 9. Now look at the jewel I have set before Joshua. A single stone with 7 facets. I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And I will remove the sins of this land in a single day. That's what he was trying to illustrate in that story. That the same way Jesus stood with a filthy garment, and as he was there, they removed the filthy garment and all that took place on the cross. The implication is that in one day, that land is not Omolokpa, it's not Enugu. That land is Zion, where we have entered in a single day. And I put this because I wanted to see, what did he say he would do to the sin? Do you understand? He didn't say, I will forgive. Am I talking to you? Now, I'm not saying our sins were not forgiving. Do you get the point? He was forgiving. But you see, when God looks at you, you are not a forgiving person. You are someone whose sins have been removed. Psalm 103 verse 12. Psalm 103 verse 12. I'll just show you, blot out, remove, blot out, remove. He has removed our sins. As far from us as the east. You look at the choice of words. Removed. My sins have been removed though. Do you understand what I'm saying? He removed. So if Peter said, repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Removed. This is what we expect. Times of refreshing. Get set. Times of refreshing will come. You see, our sins have been removed. They've been blotted out. He says, as far, and look at the distance between you and your sin. He talks about two things that keep moving, but that will never stop and they will never meet. The east. Where is east again? That side. The east and... So, he keeps taking you east and keeps taking your sins west. As far as the east is from the west. He has removed our sins. He has removed our sins. You see, it wasn't just forgiveness we got in Christ. We got an obliteration, a wiping away, a blotting out, a removal, you see, of our sins. So we stand before God, justified, sanctified, sent. Sir, this thing you're saying is not connecting in my head. Because me, I know myself. Even after I've gotten saved, I still used to make mistake. You see, I know you. You just don't know. I do. But you see, God knows you too. But he still removed your sins. You get the point? He still removed your sins. As far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 43 verse 25. When they believe, their sins were removed. Isaiah 43, 25. I love the Bible. He said, I alone. You see, when it comes to your sins, Jesus takes responsibility. I alone. And so you see, the issue about you and your sin, you don't have to cooperate with God. I alone. I alone. I love how, you see, God is a responsible God. I alone. So when I say God is able, I know what he's able to do. I alone. What did he say? Will blot out your sins. Why? For my own sake. It's not you. It's not. Okay, because you have changed. He said, for my own sake. I am the doer. I am the cause and the effect. I will make it happen. I will motivate myself to make it happen. I am everything that will make it happen. You see, that's why you did not cry for Jesus to die on the cross. You did not change from your ways when he died on the cross. He just died for my own sake. God's pleasure. What the rest of them, he said, and will never think of them. He didn't say he will have amnesia. It's not like God will have amnesia. It just means when he's done, they don't exist again. So there is no thinking of them again. I will never. Do you understand it? I, for my own sake. I love the word of God. For my own sake. You know, when we talk about forgiveness from man's standpoint, it's always a reaction. You ask me for forgiveness, I'll forgive you. So when you ask me and I forgive you, I'm forgiving you for the facts that you asked. But he said, for my own sake. I. You know when you say I? He said, yes, yes, yes. I alone. You see, when we get to heaven, nobody will say, worthy is the Lamb, and then Henry, we worked so hard to get this far. We will all lift our hands and say, what is the Lamb? Him alone brought us here. Nobody will say, well, Jesus, you tried, but you see, I contributed my own. It's not easy too. We all worked hard. We all tried. Why they are praising you too? All these pasha that are doing in the kingdom of God, that are praising one person and they forgot another person. You see, we didn't contribute anything. If at all we contributed anything, we contributed our sins. If at all. And for his own sake. Brethren, God decided. God, it was his decision. From time immemorial. You see, Romans 5 verse 8. He said, God commended his love towards us. Not when we changed our ways. While we were yet sinners. You hear the point? He didn't say, well, for now you're going to change your ways. And then once you change your ways, I will commend my love towards you. Why were you sinners? Why were you sinners? Christ died for us. If you don't understand what it means, why were you sinners? When we were dead, when there was nobody like us, when we were not existing, when we were not a people, he died for us and brought us into himself. Do we have men that have repented? Converted. Sins blotted away. He said that the times of refreshing will come. So what is the times of refreshing? We continue from there tomorrow. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. And I was thinking about this within the week when I was praying over this meeting. And so, what he did with our sin, he wiped. So you look at yourself and say, well, I know myself. I know all the mistakes I've made. You see, that's why the Bible says, know we no man after the flesh. Whenever you look at yourself, you are that man that was dead that has been brought to life. That has been brought to life. You see, that's why in this place, we will not bring people to say, come and tell us how your life was before you got saved. Tell us, you know, when they begin to recount those testimonies, most times what they are recounting is they are bringing to memory those things. And you see, those things will never save anybody. It will only make a remembrance of the sin every year. But we are no more there. Do you understand me? Our sins forgiven. Our sins blotted out. Our sins washed away. Are we sinners saved by grace? What are we? Saints! Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You know, that's why I love that song. It is wonderful to know that Jesus died for me. That part now says, my Jesus died for me. My sins, he washed away. He took it away. He took it away. He said, did he throw it into the bottomless pit? He put it on himself. On himself. On him. On him. So, do sins exist? Yes. Where are they? In the body of Christ. He took our sins on himself.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.